You're listening to the Moms Working Overtime podcast, the community of women you've been searching to find for so long. We bring together our mamas in waiting, brand new moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, and the moms who maybe just have a little bit more experience than the rest of us. We're all here for community, support, and finding ways to show up better for our families each and every day. I'm so grateful that you're here, and I hope you love what you find on today's episode. Welcome back to the Moms Working Overtime podcast for our Thursday interview series. I hope you all love these as much as I love these. Maybe it's just fun because it's not just me talking to myself. I get to bring other moms on here to have conversations with, but I absolutely love bringing you these Thursday episodes and allowing other moms just to share their experiences and for you to get to know some of the amazing moms that I have in my own life that I'm lucky enough to have in my circle. And so today is a really special episode. I've been telling you all how much is happening in Moms Working Overtime and just how overwhelmed and stressed it makes me, but how exciting it is. And one of the most exciting pieces is starting to build our team. It's something I never imagined doing in the first year, in the first couple years, but you all have grown this community in such an amazing way, just by the way that you share on your stories about the podcast and the way you talk about your experiences within the Facebook group. And so we have now grown to the point where we've brought on another wellness coach and someone to help me be my right-hand woman. And so today I want you to get to know her and she's going to come on. We're going to talk about all things motherhood per usual. And I know that these are some of y'all's favorite episodes when we just get to chat and share our experiences. So welcome today, my girl, Lindsay Arnold.
Hello. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be part of the community. It's amazing. I love it.
It's going to be such a fun journey. And There's a lot of things. You all should be on Lindsay and I's phone calls and our text messages because we're like, we could do this and we could do this. And I'm so bad about that. I'm a dreamer. And so there are a lot of things that Lindsay and I are going to be able to tackle together and a lot more that we're going to be able to offer and bring to the table. I'm just really, really excited. But Lindsay, I'll let you get started. Share a little bit about you, a little bit about your family so they can get to know you.
Yeah, thank you. I'm Lindsay, and I am a health and fitness coach and nutrition coach, and I am a mom of three. I have a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, so they keep me busy. And we do like a hybrid homeschool, so they're in school 3 days a week and then they're home 2 days a week. So that adds a little bit to our craziness. I've been married to my husband for, it'll be 17 years this year, which is crazy.
Crazy.
I know it's those times that I feel like I'm really old when I look back and I'm like, wait, like that's teeny, like we're ready to graduate soon.
Oh my gosh. No, you can't think about that yet.
No, but yeah. So, we met in college and got married and, we also have a massive dog who's like almost 90 pounds and basically a toddler. He keeps us on our toes and, I call myself a runner, but I feel like I have imposter syndrome with it because I swam my whole life. So running was never my thing, but I do love to run. It's my stress relief. So that is what I like to do. And,
I would call you a runner. I always joke, Lindsay, with our one-on-one clients that I only run if something's chasing me.
Right.
So, I mean, there was a period in my life where I would sign up for races because it held me accountable to my cardio.
But yes.
Running for fun isn't something I've necessarily ever described it as.
I feel like you have to get over that hump. Like you sign up for the challenge of it all. And then eventually you're like, oh, I actually do want to go run. This sounds fun. But no, I finished a marathon and I still don't call myself a runner. I feel like runners don't call themselves runners.
Well, maybe you'll convert me a little bit. There's a little bit of hope here postpartum if we can keep me from being pregnant back to back like I have been. But no, everyone who's listening, I really am excited to bring Lindsay onto the team because something that you all have shared with me with love is that my experiences come from newborn stage and young baby stage and the trenches of what I'm in right now. And it's so true. It's the world I live in. It's what I talk about the most. But something y'all have shared with me with love is that you would love to hear from a mom who has a little bit of older children, the mom who, you know, is experiencing dabbling in the teenage years, like you're talking about, Lindsay, and entering what we call taxi cab stage, where all you're doing is running them from activity to activity, trying to keep your head on straight. And so whenever I was meeting with Lindsay about the potential of this position, I thought that was such a great, you know, thing that she could bring to the team is just that perspective and being able to do more for younger moms, but also for moms whose children are getting a little bit older. So it'll be great.
It does make me feel old that way. But I feel like I was just doing the toddler thing like last year. But yeah, with a somebody once explained it to me that when they're younger, you're busy in the morning and you're just looking forward to the night. Where
Bedtime.
when they're older, you're looking forward to the morning because then once night hits, you're the Uber driver.
Yeah, that is so true. That's true. No, actually, Dylan and I were talking the other day and someone from the community has shared this perspective with me. So if you are listening and you're the one who shared it with me, I'm sorry I can't credit you right now because my mind is all over the place. But I was talking on my Instagram story one time, Lindsay, about how I didn't want Carter to grow up. And I was like, I hate that he's growing up. I don't want him to grow up. And someone from the community had messaged me and was like, well, it's better than the alternative. You want your child to grow up because the alternative is not getting to see them grow up. And it's such a blessing to get to see them grow and flourish and everything that they come into. And I have chills right now because it hit me right in the heart. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it falls in line with Lindsay. We talk about this a lot on the podcast. Just this exhaustion is a privilege. This experience is such a gift. And being a mom, all that it is, it's so hard, but we also wouldn't trade it for the world. Right. And so the other day, Dylan and I were like, oh, Carter's growing up. We don't want him to grow up. But we were like, you know what? It's amazing to watch him grow. And we're so just grateful to be in the trenches right now.
And it's busy. I used to tell my kids, you're not allowed to grow up. And then I'd be giving them the vitamins. And they were like, why are you giving us these?
Yes.
I still tell them, like, my daughter's almost as tall as me. And she'll be like, you know, I'm still have to grow up, mom. It's what I have to do.
Aw, I love it. You'll be able to share a really cool perspective. But before we get into that, there's a question I ask everyone who comes to interview on the podcast. I'm going to ask you as well. You have to think back a bit. But who were you before you were a mom?
So I think I've always been a mom in training, if that sounds right.
I actually relate to that. I get that.
I've kind of always been an old soul. And when I was in college, I was an early childhood education major. And I thought, you know, I'd like to take some parenting classes because what 20-year-old does that? And so I put it as my minor. I was a family studies minor. And then I was a kindergarten teacher and I would teach and then go after school and teach swim lessons and then coach a swim team. So I was constantly surrounded by kids. And my husband actually told me the other day that my dad once told him that I would come into my own when I became a mom. And I feel like that's just all, I've just always been preparing for it.
Like that's what you were always meant to be.
Yes.
That I can relate to that so strongly. You know, so all through college, I nannied for a family. They had four under four because it was one set of twins. So four children under 4 years old. And I was 18 years old. I'm like, holy cow. I was sweating every single time I nannied for them. I was sweating.
Yeah.
And I still text her. They had ended up moving away. And I text her and I say, thank you. You made me a better mom. Like, you know, just allowing me to come in and care and love on your children and learn a lot and mess
I'm
up
sure.
Here and there. Like, you've made me a better mom for my kids. And I do think that there's so many things before we're a mom that prepare us for this, whether it's a career or, you know, doing anything in childcare, nannying or being a teacher. And so it is funny to look back to that and think it was all just preparing you for this. Cause I feel the same way. When I became a mom, I was like, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life, that this is where I'm supposed to be.
That's true. And so you were ready for the two under two then. You're like, I've got
two
this.
Under two didn't scare me as much because of four under four. Four under four gets a little scary.
Yeah, I could imagine. I could not do that.
There was one time I was outside with the twin 2 year olds on my hip and the 4 year old locked us out of the house.
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, this is when I get fired. This is my last day. But it's fun. It's fun. And I love that you feel that way too. And I know there's also moms who come on the podcast and it's cool to hear their perspective where they say, I never saw myself as a mom, but I became one. And you just like come into your own. And so it's just deeply rooted in all of us. But okay, on the flip side of that, another question is, are you the kind of mom that you expected yourself to be?
Not at all. I think of that reel that you see, like where it's the mom I thought I was going to be, and it was like Mary Poppins, and you're singing, and then there's like a dinosaur, and it's like the mom I am. But I feel like my kids are constantly humbling me, like because I was an education major, I went into parenting, like I've got this, I know, you know, the right ways to do things, and then, you know, they throw you a curveball and you're like, wait, you're not doing what the textbook says you're supposed to do. And then you feel like you broke your kid. But I feel like they're just constantly, and there's new phases. So where I feel like I've got one phase down, then we go into a new one. So yeah, definitely not at all.
I don't think you're alone in that in any
No.
way.
No.
So now that you're here, and we've talked about this, but you gave me an answer because I started MWO. I want to hear just like chit-chatting with all the other ladies that listen, act like I'm not here. What is it about MWO? Like, why did you want to be a bigger part of this community? I know there's lots of different facets of it, but just as a whole.
Well, I am going to say that first it is because you're here. And I said I would jump at any opportunity to work with you. But it's actually, I was thinking about it. It's really what I wish I had when I was a new mom. And again, I'm sounding old because social media wasn't really a huge thing 12 years ago. And so, you know, you were in the trenches by yourself, and you had to go find other women that you thought could be your community. And motherhood is so polarizing too, because if you had a C-section, then the traditional birth moms, or you just never feel like you fit in one area, you know. Or I remember I took baby yoga with my oldest, and I brought out formula, and it was like horrifying to everybody. But then I went to another group of friends and I brought out like the baby food that I had handmade, and they were horrified that I didn't have pouches. And I was like, I don't fit in anywhere.
This is so true.
But you have to find your people. And I love that the community's there and it's supportive of no matter what you do, like, because we all have to, ultimately you're trying to keep your kids healthy and you're trying to do the best you can. And sometimes it's not in your control whether or not you have a C-section or you're breastfeeding or not. And it's a supportive community of whatever way you do things. And I just,
because
wish
we're
I
all
had
just
that
doing
way
our
I was
best.
Younger.
I think
Yes,
that should be the
exactly.
slogan of motherhood. Like, before you judge, before you say anything, before you give advice, can you please just remember that we're all doing our best?
Exactly. Nobody goes out and is like, I really want to be a crummy mom. It's not,
truly.
We're all trying. And yeah, if you're out there and you're trying to find people without having a community, it can be very lonely and hard to find. So I wish I had this community back in the day.
It really is. I tell people all the time, if you don't have a village, make a village. And you can do that through social media. Social media gets really demonized. And I totally understand where this comes from. I talk about it often, that there's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of, you know, highlight reels that happen about motherhood on social media, and it can very quickly send you down a dark hole. But it can also be something so powerful. It can help you find a community. It can help you build your village. And I think that's the side that you're talking about, where it's like, seek out the ones that also had C-sections. Seek out the ones that feel like they yell at their kids too much. Like,
yes.
Seek out what you relate to. And if you use social media right, it can be a great thing.
That's true.
But always, always accepting. And I'm always here to humble myself. So if anyone ever needs to just feel like, you know, they're doing great, they can come listen to what I'm struggling with on the podcast.
Right. There are some days that everybody
there are
feels
some
like
days.
They're...
It last yes. night, Dylan had a meeting. So I had to put both kids to bed by myself, and they were both screaming. So keeping each other from ever going to sleep, I was like, oh no, this is going to be very bad. So I had to lay Lena down in her room and close the door. And it was probably only 8 minutes, but it felt like I laid her there to cry for like 45 minutes. And so then I'm about to cry. I'm trying to get Carter to go to sleep. And I was sitting there thinking, I have a mom podcast. What business do I have in this moment right now having a mom podcast?
Well, we've all been there. I had to say, I remember one specific night that my daughter was screaming, "Mommy, come back to me," because I was trying to put her to bed. And then the baby was screaming. My husband traveled Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know what to do right now. Like,
yep.
I can't leave. So what do I do?
It's so hard, but we're all in this together.
Yes.
All doing our best.
Exactly. Yes.
What do you feel like is, in your experience, in not only in your personal experience, but just the experience you have with other moms you've interacted with, your experience in the MWO community so far, what do you feel that moms struggle with the most that keeps them from really enjoying the motherhood journey? Because I know even what we do, Lindsay, with one-on-one coaching, we're really just, it's not about all health and wellness. We're really just trying to help a mom show up as her best self, find her joy again, her confidence again, and start having fun in this role. But what do you think holds most moms back from that?
I think the word that I'm thinking of is soundtrack, because there's constantly a soundtrack in most moms' minds that we're not doing enough. and that someone is doing it better and we are just messing it all up. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't think I know a single mom that goes to bed at night and is thinking, I crushed this. I had a great day. I have not met anybody yet, but there might be one out there. But typically you go to bed and you're thinking, I have messed up my kids. Mm-hmm. And then you think of social media or the friend that's doing it differently, or, you know, the way you wanted to do it, or they're growing up too fat. Like, mm-hmm. it's just this constant soundtrack of noise and pressure and feeling like you have to do more. And then on top of that, there's the feeling that being mom isn't enough. And it's yes. just this constant, for years, I struggled with the idea that, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom, but I wasn't doing enough. And someone once told mm-hmm. me I was setting a bad example for my kids by not showing them that a mom can work and that sort of thing. And so I struggled for years thinking I wasn't doing enough, but this is the time I have with them. And it's a struggle to try to mm-hmm. do all those things. And it's hard.
I think that's why I think that is why moms struggle the most in their role these days, is we don't just get to focus on being a mom. You have to be mm-hmm. a mom, and you have to be everything else, is what society yeah. says. Like, you need to do all the things and be all the things all at once. But also, don't forget that so-and-so's soccer practice starts at 5:15, but you also got to prep a treat for tomorrow for school, and it can't have XYZ ingredients in it. And mm-hmm. there's a constant, like you said, I like the word soundtrack. There's this soundtrack in our minds all the time that we have to do and be all these things all at once.
And if you're not doing it perfectly, then you're failing. Mm-hmm. And it's just putting one step forward. Like, okay, you made lunch for your kid. That's great. Does it have completely organic, homegrown ingredients? No, but your kid is fed. So that's a yeah. win. You know, it just doesn't always have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're taking a step forward, you're winning. And I think that's an important thing to remember.
100%. Do you think that that's been one of your biggest struggles, or what have been your biggest struggles, maybe from even having young kids to where you're at now?
I've definitely struggled. Like I said, I struggled with the idea of being a mom, and is this enough? I've always worried that one day they're going to leave and I'm not going to know who I am. Mm-hmm. And I just started to realize I need to have my own hobby. I need to find me, because there's so many moms that the kids graduate and mm-hmm. they leave the house and you don't know who you are anymore. Mm-hmm. So I definitely had to find hobbies there. But I think struggle wise currently, it's a lot of the friends, the outside factors that are coming in, especially the preteen stage, the technology, which is fun.
Where do you draw the lines?
Yes. Well, not only that, but we have pretty firm lines with technology. It's other people's mm-hmm. lines that then mm-hmm. encroach on our lines. So there's struggle there. There's the whole struggle of keeping peace and simplicity, because the schedules get overloaded and yeah. we just want some simple times and some joy. And mm-hmm. and it's hard when you're constantly running back and forth and mm-hmm. all of that. So I think the soundtrack stays pretty much the same the whole way through, but it just gets amplified sometimes.
I do think that you are in that really hard period of when to say no and when to say yes. Mm-hmm. it was the podcast this week, the pep talk, is using the word no, but no period. Because we're really bad about saying, no, I'm sorry, and we give all these excuses, or we backtrack, or we feel guilty, and we say, you know, but maybe I could do that. And it's no period. And sometimes I think no is the greatest gift we can give to our kids, because it does give them that simplicity. It gives them that downtime to not only recharge, which I think we forget how important that is for kids, but also to just instill family values and the importance of being home and just being around your parents and your siblings, and just really making memories from that facet, not always having to have a schedule.
Right. And that's not always, you know, celebrated anymore. It's mm-hmm. let's go, let's be out and let's do things. And we've had to teach our daughter to simplify a little bit, because she's at the phase where she could do sports and school activities mm-hmm. and she wants to do it all because it's new. Mm-hmm. And then she gets really overwhelmed that the stuff mm-hmm. at home isn't getting done. So we have to teach her to say no to some of the things mm-hmm. and just take a step back here and there, but mm-hmm. also that she can't commit to something and not show up.
Not follow through. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So here comes the internal battle again.
Exactly. Yes.
It's so hard. And I know too, Lindsay, like not only all the normal chaos of motherhood, but I know that you guys have been through a lot the past year. You've talked about this on social media, and I know it's weighed on you, not just as a person. It's weighed on you as a wife. It's weighed on you as a mom. And you don't have to go into detail here, but what I do want you to share, because there's a lot of moms that reach out to me that say, I come to the podcast because I'm in such a dark time. And it helps pull me out, helps me see the light. It helps me feel like things will get better at some point in time. So keeping that in mind, that there's moms listening that are, they're in that just like you're in that. What are things that you do to kind of pull through those hard times and all those different roles that you have?
So we've definitely had a couple. It's been about a year and a half. Just for context, my husband had a stroke and brain surgery while he was in North Dakota about 14 months ago. And 3 months later, my dad passed away suddenly. And then 2 months ago, my sister passed away suddenly. So we've been kind of in a downturn for a little bit. But there's been a lot of change. For us, marriage is everything. And that's the base of our family. So if that's not going well, then nobody's doing well. Because at the end of the day, the kids are going to leave and it's just going to be Kayla and I. And we have to figure out, who we are throughout all of this. So the main thing we've been trying to do is focus on our relationship a little bit more because, I mean, really, the little things that used to bother us or we'd fight about, when you have a moment where you don't think you're going to see your husband again, it all comes into perspective that, okay, he snored last night. Is it the end of the world? No. It's annoying when you can't sleep at night. But, or like he didn't close the ketchup bottle or whatever. Those little things, I've learned to let go of those things. But mainly it's finding the small moments, finding the joy. And the kids have struggled quite a bit with everything going on. And what we've done to kind of change our narrative at home is at dinner, we'll sit down and Kayla will ask everybody, what are your wins for today? What went well today? Because so much of our day can consist of all the noise and the sadness and the heaviness is like we're trying to get it out of the house. So he'll sit down and he'll say, what went well? And there are days that I'm like, well, I brushed my teeth,
And that was my win, and that's
and
okay.
exactly. But it's a win and it's changing that soundtrack too. So instead of the heaviness and all of that, we're looking at positive things and it's actually brightened the kids up a little bit more to where they're focusing on the happiness throughout the day and thinking at dinner, I'm going to have to say something. And this could be one of them. We've also simplified with just more family time because it's you just don't know how much time you have. And spending time with the family, we actually started doing pizza movie nights. But
Love
they've
it.
kind of morphed. So I make the pizzas and we kind of all do it together. And then we were doing movies, but now we got into watching Amazing Race. And there's like 30 seasons of this show. But it's a family bonding thing because we all have a team we're cheering for and we can talk about it throughout the day and it's light and airy and we're not talking about heavy things and it's fun to see different parts of the world and we have something
I
we're all
love it.
working together with and we get outside, we just try to create, I've got a bug here. We try to create more like happiness in the day. And if we're outside, if we're hiking, that sort of thing, we're focusing on the creation outside and how beautiful it is, and just how everything is so much bigger than what we're dealing with. And it really helps to do that. And then of course getting outside and moving, I have to move every day or else it's going to bring me down. And yeah, those sort of things.
Two really powerful things and things that I know you'll share a lot in your role with NWO and the moms you work with one-on-one. I say that all the time. I'm like, hey, we're going through a hard time. What if you stopped looking at it as exercise and you just got outside in the sunshine for 10 minutes a day, went for a walk, and it was for you? It was just for you, your mental health, to find the positive, to start focusing on something different. And I think that's hard for moms when we're going through a hard time. We do hyper focus on what's going bad. And I think we are all naturally fixers. So we're hyper focusing on that problem, thinking that's going to help us find a solution. But it's as simple as you're saying in so many different instances. If you just shift your mindset and just start focusing on what's going good, I think it helps you through hard times.
Right. And playing, getting out and play, like for my husband and I, we don't go to dinner and a movie. If we have a date, we're doing something different. We're playing, we're bonding, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Someone once actually recently told me that I have to stop looking for those perfect moments. Because I was saying, you know, we have an almost 13-year-old, life's short, we need to. She said, what kind of pressure are you putting on your family by doing that? And it took me back. Like, I don't know about this. But it's true, because I'm thinking I have to, you know, have the perfect outfits, and I have to have everything has to be perfect. And everybody then feels that pressure. So getting out and playing, and you know, we did a family camp a few months ago. And we got out and we did it was called a sock war, which is basically like capture the flag, and just going out and having fun just takes all that pressure off. And it might be hard to plan for, it might be hard to get there, but once you're there, you just let go and you act like a kid again. And it's fun.
I love it. I know your kids love that too. They want to see that side of you for sure.
Oh, they do. They want mom to play.
You'll be able to share a lot of those ideas, because I know that you guys have done a lot recently, and a lot as a family, you and Kale have done a lot. And so you'll be able to like share those ideas and give them to the audience. But we're almost going to pull everything together here, but I just want you to share, because we've been able to have some conversations, you know, what are you hoping to bring through to Moms Working Overtime through your new role, which your role is all over the place, just like mine is. That is part of it right now. But when you think about the impact that you want to make, you know, the moms that we have here that we could help, or the types of resources and things that you want to bring to the table here, what's your MWO dreams?
Oh, goodness, so many things. I want to help the moms that feel like they're stuck, that feel like they have to be everything to everyone. And instead of taking care of themselves, they're pulled in every direction, and realize that, you know, you make that time for yourself, and you find your strength, and that's what you're showing your kids. And the kids are watching mom eat healthy. The kids are watching mom get out and taking time for herself, not just while they're sleeping, but hey, I'm going to go play with dad now while mom goes and works out for herself. And then they're going to do that when they're older, and they're not going to feel like they have to do the same things we had to do. Also what they surround themselves with. Are you going and surrounding yourself with like all the bad foods and sitting on the couch watching movies all the time? Because that's what they see. If you're out, you're having fun, you're playing, you're confident, then that's what they're going to do moving forward. And that's what I wish I knew earlier on. And I want to help moms realize that, you know, in taking care of yourself, you're actually training the next generation. You're not being selfish. You are actually being a very intentional parent. And I want them to feel power in that. On the other side, I'd love to help more moms with running, because that is my passion.
And y'all are not going to get that from me. So you better be glad I brought Lindsay on the team.
Yes, we'll be doing races. And I am famous for bringing people along for that.
I'm going to need a bike.
I do like that too. But no, I just, there's so much power in motherhood, and it's untapped, because I feel like we feel as though we have to be quiet. And I want moms to embrace that and know that they are powerful, and they are in charge. You set the tone for your family. So make it powerful.
We really are. I like to say the mom is the thermostat of the family. Where we are at typically impacts every single person, especially our significant others, but definitely our kids as well. You know, they sense that stress. But what you're sharing is also kind of how I push through the hard days. And what motivates me is that my kids have to witness me living the life that I want for them. If I want them to be a certain thing, and I know we've talked about this on the podcast, if I want them to be kind, if I want them to prioritize education and learning, if I want them to, you know, be humble and always be bettering themselves, then they have to see me do that. You know, it's all going to be learned through what they witness in their parents. And so it's important to us that, hey, if we want them to be healthy, well, we're hypocrites if we don't also step up to the plate and make those changes in our own life. And so totally agree with you there.
Yeah. And not only that, but you were saying how create your own community, being courageous. If they only see you afraid to go up and talk to people or afraid to take risks, then they're going to do the same thing. So have courage, get out there.
Yeah, let that be your motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lindsay, I'm so excited we could bring you on and finally share you with
happy
the
to be here.
community, because this has been in the works for a while, but I'm just happy for them to get to know you. You all will be hearing from and seeing her a ton more when it comes to the podcast, when it comes to the Moms Working Overtime Facebook group, which the link is always in the podcast description. You should totally join. We are like 800 moms strong now, all coming together.
Yay.
I have never had to remove a post or chastise anyone for being hateful or judgmental in that group. And I think that says a lot for a mom group. It's really an amazing community. So if you're not in there, please use the link in the description and join. Completely free. There's no pressure, no anything in there. Just a bunch of moms trying to get better. And then Lindsay, of course, also is going to be present in our one-on-one coaching services, where we work with moms, you know, more one-on-one on anything that they're struggling with, but really just empowering themselves, improving their overall health and wellness, having the energy to show up, feeling joyful again about their motherhood role. And so she's going to be all over the place. It's going to be tons of fun, and who knows what direction we're going to go with it. But I just really appreciate you being here. And I wanted to ask you just one last question. You know, is there anything that you want to share with the MWO audience today?
Oh, I think along the lines of the soundtrack that we were talking about, change it up. Like, if you had the power to, when you hit that pillow and your mind starts reeling about, I'm doing this all wrong and I've messed them up for good. What if, like we do at dinner, sit down and say, what went well today? What were the wins? Even if it was just, I took a walk and my kids stopped to look at a butterfly. Like, they're observing the world around them. And I think if we could change the soundtrack, we could be so much more powerful as moms. So just,
I love it.
Take progress, not perfection. A step forward is better than nothing.
The imperfect is actually the most perfect thing about motherhood. And it's what your kids will remember. Guaranteed.
Yes.
The best memories come from the imperfect.
Yes, exactly.
Well, for all the moms that are listening today, I hope that you loved getting to know Lindsay a little bit more. Like I said, you're going to see her all over the place with MWO now. We're super excited to have her on the team. And when it comes to changing the soundtrack, here's the thing. Every single time that you come to this podcast, I'm going to remind you of one thing. And I also hope that everyone in your day-to-day life reminds you every single day as well that, Mama, you're doing an amazing job. And we'll talk to you soon. If you loved this episode of Moms Working Overtime, do me a favor. Share it on social media or send it to another mom to remind her that you love her and that she's doing such an amazing job. There's nothing more incredible that we can do in this community than remind other mamas of their strength. I'm so glad you were here today, and just know that I appreciate you an overtime amount.